back from Wisconsin, but there's more to come. Warbird restorers look forward to regulatory relief, and six EAA directors win re-election. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 3rd, 2009. If you're like our staff, you're back at work this morning with a little bit of sunburn, some Wisconsin dust in your shoes, and a new appreciation for real porcelain bathroom fixtures. The A380 was quite a sight in the skies and on the ramp of Whitman Regional, and so were the C5 and VMS Eve. The Doobie Brothers were terrific. The weather was about as good as it gets in Oshkosh in July, and old friends were everywhere at the world's greatest aviation celebration. EAA says it's still tallying the official numbers on AirVenture 2009, but Camp Scholar was filled to capacity. Extra grass had to be mowed to make room for car parking, and attendance is expected to set a record. There were more than 10,000 aircraft at AirVenture this year. EAA has published the list of award winners at www.airventure.org. Congratulations to all. From our side of things, we never really know what to expect when we meet our stringers. Every year is a little different dynamic. We had a great bunch this year, and they did some fine work. I'll be catching up on sleep for a couple of days, but we all look forward to AirVenture 2010. While our daily coverage of Oshkosh is obviously over for now, we have lots more to bring you in the coming weeks, both in audio form in the Aero News special feature and in video form at aerotv.net. There may finally be some clarity and an easing of tensions coming regarding the regulations affecting the restoration, repair, and maintenance of warbirds. EAA reports that Oshkosh brought an opportunity for leaders from Warbirds of America and other warbird groups to meet with officials from several FAA branches to help shape the regulations that govern warbird operations. EAA Warbirds Executive Director Bill Fisher said two notable discussions involved a review of operating limitations for experimental exhibition category aircraft, which includes many warbirds, and the creation of a standardized schedule and specifications for aircraft inspection programs for some warbird types. The Classic Jet Aircraft Association, Commemorative Air Force, and other warbird groups have worked with FAA's Aircraft Certification, Flight Standards, and Aircraft Maintenance Branches and Small Airplane Directorate. Fisher called the process productive and says new operating limitations and inspection standards are expected to be released for public comment this fall. EAA reports that six of its directors were re-elected to three-year terms Saturday morning at the annual meeting held at Theater in the Woods. They are Barry Davis, Jack Harrington, David Lau, Dave Passahow, Dan Schwinn, and Alan Shackleton. In other developments not officially announced by EAA, ANN learned from sources close to the search for a new EAA president that Pete Bunce, the current president of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, withdrew from consideration for the post when it became clear he would not receive the unanimous vote of approval that he considered necessary to do the job effectively. ANN will have further analysis of this situation in the coming days. Stay up to date with coverage in text form at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Alan Klapmeyer's bid to take over the Cirrus Jet project may be over. NAFI charts a new course forward, and the FAA takes a look at the red tape in Part 23. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Getting the latest avionics technology shouldn't always mean spending a lot of money. That's why Aspen Avionics offers the most affordable glass cockpit solution on the market today. Aspen has made going glass more affordable with the Grand Glass Rebate Program, offering a $1,000 rebate for all purchases of an EFD 1000 Pro PFD. Check out www.aspenavionics.com for all the details.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. While much of the aviation world was focused on Oshkosh, the attempt by Cirrus Design founder and former CEO Alan Klappmeyer to form a separate company to take over the single-engine jet program was reaching an impasse. On Friday, Klappmeyer confirmed to ANN that his specific offer to the company had not been accepted. The following day, Cirrus CEO Brent Wouters told us he felt Cirrus had negotiated in good faith with Klappmeyer and had made a valid counteroffer. Quote, "The gap in valuation has nothing to do with his choice. We interpret this as an inability to raise sufficient funding. The entire circumstance with Alan and his proposal to take over the jet has been a substantial management distraction. We're executing the jet plan. We're making great progress. We're selling airplanes. We have a business that is performing very well, and that business is funding that R&D program. We're proceeding forward as if it hadn't happened." Unquote. The National Association of Flight Instructors is trying to move on from the recent controversy over governance issues and political disputes and redefine its mission. At a Saturday morning press breakfast at AirVenture, NAFI Executive Director Jason Blair called flight instructors a key to growing aviation and said traditional means used to convince newcomers to train are ineffective. In comments to ANN last week, Blair had this to say.
Throughout the history of selling aviation, we've tried to come up with logical reasons why somebody should be a pilot. It'll get you to your next business meeting faster. It'll save you money. You can take your family trip. We don't need a reason. If we ask somebody, why did you go golfing on Sunday? Their answer is simple. I like golfing. It was fun. If somebody says, why would you go flying today? We need the answer to be acceptable to say, it was a blast. I had fun. And I think that's something that as the instructor corps, NAFI needs to help promote better.
NAFI has also made a significant change in its master instructor program, now requiring 1,000 hours of instruction given in order to qualify. Blair admits there will be current master instructors who may not meet this new minimum qualification when it comes time for renewal. One of the hopes for the ASTM industry consensus standards process, used by manufacturers to self-certify new aircraft as LSA, was that the process might one day provide a pattern for updating the existing Part 23 process for standard category aircraft. While that isn't about to happen anytime soon, Part 23 may be in for an interim overhaul. A study group, including representatives of EAA, AOPA, NBAA, GAMA, AEA, and other aviation groups, has resulted in a report to the FAA on recommendations for changes to Part 23 over the next 20 years, in part to alleviate the high cost to both industry and the FAA in bringing a new aircraft to market. One change proposed is splitting general aviation aircraft into three categories based on complexity and performance and giving them varying requirements for certification. Type 1 would include relatively simple, unpressurized airplanes limited to 14,000 feet with stall speeds below 61 knots. Type 2 would allow pressurized operation to 25,000 feet with speeds to Mach 0.6, which would include the Cirrus Vision SF-50 at the top end of the category. Type 3 would include planes such as the Cessna CJ-4 group, allowing higher altitudes and unlimited complexity. Other changes proposed involve procedures for AML STCs, pilot interfaces, and training. You can read Chris Batchelor's thoughtful analysis in the text article dated August 1st on aero-news.net and get a complete copy of the report from the FAA's Small Airplane Directorate in Kansas City. Still ahead, EASA will mandate pitot changes in some Airbus airliners. Diamond gets the FAA's blessing on the Austro diesel. And if you noticed something's different today, you're right. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 3rd, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. The European Aviation Safety Agency is acting in the wake of the Air France Flight 447 disaster off Argentina, in which pitot tubes providing data to the plane's computers are suspected as a possible factor. EASA says it will propose an airworthiness directive mandating that all Airbus A330 and A340 aircraft currently fitted with Thales pitot probes be fitted with at least two Goodrich probes, allowing a maximum of one Thales BA-type probe to remain on the aircraft. Each aircraft is equipped with three pitot tubes. The older Thales probes of the type AA would no longer be fitted. The publication of the agency's proposals, with further details, which are still being elaborated, is foreseen within the next 14 days. In an announcement long awaited by both current and prospective owners of Diamond Aero Diesel aircraft, the company announced on Friday at AirVenture that it now has FAA certification for the Austro Engines AE300. The engine is being promoted by Diamond as a performance upgrade for owners of diesels previously manufactured by T-Alert, which went through insolvency last year, and also as an appealing option on new aircraft. The Austro includes FADEC and a constant-speed prop governor, a high-mounted turbocharger to permit gravity oil return, and other features claimed to improve reliability and reduce maintenance costs. It also makes its full-rated 170 horsepower to 11,800 feet. The FAA certification of the AE300 paves the way for FAA validation of the EASA type certificate for the DA42NG. That's expected late in the third quarter. And finally, you may have noticed a couple of subtle changes in the way we bring you these AeroCasts. After experimenting over the past few weeks, we've settled on a slight reduction in the targeted length of both this Aero Briefing and the Aero News Special feature, allowing an upgrade in the sound quality without increasing the final file size of the MP3s. From this point on, they'll both be released in 64K, that's up from 56, which makes an appreciable quality improvement in some players. A more obvious difference takes effect today in our shorter form Touch and Go. Over the past 4 years, the Touch and Go has reprised the top three or four stories in the Aero Briefing. But there's no guarantee our selection of the top three stories each day matches your interests and news priorities. So, from now on, Touch and Go will provide very short synopses of 8 to 12 stories, and you can get more details in audio form by listening to this Aero Briefing or in text form on our website. In addition, the new format will allow cutting the length of the Touch and Go and raising the quality of the MP3 encoding from 32 to 64K for a dramatic increase in audio quality while staying under the promised 1 megabyte maximum file size limit for this feature. As always, your comments are welcome. Email me directly with your thoughts. My address is paulp@aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves offers some closing comments on AirVenture. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.